While the outside world, the majority are celebrating Easter festivities in strong drinks and all sorts of food, and forget the reality and the meaning of what Christ had done for the human race. For the human race that had passed, the human race of this present time, and the human race of the future to come. That everyone have a way of escape, the deliverance from the bondage of sin, and to choose the right pathway of salvation. Our celebration of the Passover does not consist in drinking and eating, but how we can sustain our soul from any defilement with the manna of heaven, the bread of heaven, and the drink, and drink the water from that well that never runs dry. The word of God is to love one another and to follow the example of Christ Jesus, that he can free everyone from the chains and undo the shackles from the both hands and both feet and deliver everyone, give us the freedom from the bondage and the captivity of sin. And brothers and sisters, this is our commission, our responsibility, to invest our investments to gain the interest in the souls for the kingdom of heaven. And that's my introduction. And now let us come to our subject, to be humble with one another. And this subject, this sermon, prepared that this 3 months ago, which seems like yesterday, 2 days before last foot washing, Brother Peter ranked me up and I said, I'm preparing the sermon in case you are on call. You remember that was 3 months ago. So it's been ready 3 months and this is the time to present it. So our subject is to be humble with one another. Jesus had the desire to eat the Last Supper with his disciples before he departed from this world and even from his disciples. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to suffer and die for the fallen race, that through his sacrifice, everyone can have access to the kingdom of heaven. Jesus instituted the ordinance after the Passover, Thursday evening, the night before his betrayal. The Passover was ordained as a commemoration of the deliverance of Israel from Egyptian bondage that had to be practiced year by year, to be kept fresh in the minds of all Israel, that this history should be repeated. And also for us as spiritual Israel, that this ordinance to be commemorated of the great deliverance from the bondage of sin, with the result of the death of Christ, and should be celebrated as often as we can till Jesus comes at his second coming, to remind us of the great work that heaven is doing for us and the great love that Jesus is showing to us, and to walk in our spiritual walk as Jesus walked, that we might surrender to his will. In John chapter 13, we are going to follow this chapter, verse 5, after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel. Here wherewith he was girded. And in verse 6, Jesus came to Simon Peter to wash his feet. And Peter refused that Jesus wash his feet. "You will never wash my feet," Peter said to Jesus. And verse 7, Jesus looked at him and said, "Right now you don't understand why I am doing this, but after I'm gone, you will understand." And in verse 8, Peter said to Jesus, "I am not letting my God to wash my feet." Then Jesus replied, "If you do not let me wash your feet, you have no part of me." And in verse 9, and Simon Peter responded, "In that case, not only my feet, my hands, but wash me all over, my head and my whole body." Peter felt unworthy for Jesus to wash his feet, until he found it was necessary that Jesus wash his feet, because otherwise he won't have a part of Jesus. And that's the last thing Peter wanted. Jesus desired, he requested to wash his disciples' feet for the reason that this very act had showed them to surrender their hearts to one another. And their friendly approach for one another, and to submit their proud heart to Jesus with the spirit they had, they were not prepared, ready to have communion with Christ, to share the joy to be one with Christ. From Desire of Ages, page 646. Until Christ brought them into a state of humility and love, they were not prepared to partake in the Passover supper or to share in the memorial service with Christ, which Christ was about to institute. Their hearts must be cleansed. Pride and self-seeking create dissension, disagreement and hatred. But all did Jesus washed away in washing their feet. A change of feeling was brought about. Looking upon them, Jesus could say, "Ye are clean." Now there was union in the heart, love for one another. They had become humble and teachable. That's what the lesson Jesus wants to give his disciples. And we know, except Judas, because Jesus knew that one of his disciples is going to betray him. After Jesus washed the disciples' feet, they were ready to partake in the communion with Jesus. Is that beautiful? And it can happen to us too, especially this special occasion. The same thing, that the Holy Spirit will take charge on our hearts. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 and 29. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 27 and 39. Sorry, 27 and 29. "It is a sin to eat unworthily the communion of Christ." There, 27. "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drink this cup of the Lord in unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." And verse 29, For he who eats and drinks in unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And also verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. To examine, to look closely and carefully in our hearts, to investigate our actions, test ourselves by asking the question, is it I, Lord, that betrayed you? From Desire of Ages, page 656. When believers assemble to celebrate the ordinances, there are present messengers unseen by human eyes. And who are the messengers that we cannot see? Naturally, they are the holy angels, but also there would be evil angels. They may be a Judas in the company, and if so, messengers from the prince of darkness are there, for they attend all who refuse to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Heavenly angels also are present. These unseen angels are present on every such occasion. They may come into the company persons who are not in heart servants of the truth and holiness, but who may wish to take part in the service. They should not be forbidden, not to stop them, to prevent them not to take part, but let them take part of the service. There are witnesses present who were present when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples and of Judas. More than human eyes beheld the scenes, beheld the view. So, all the time, we have witnesses here. Witness our Holy Communion, foot washing. And that's why everything, as we know, is reported in heaven. So that's why we have to adapt ourselves in a holiness manner, especially this occasion. We should be in holiness manner every time, especially in the house of God. But is a special occasion like this that the Holy Spirit will bind hearts together more other time, because it's an act of humbleness. So when we come together to celebrate this ordinance, let the unseen beings, the holy angels, witness our humility and love and our sincerity of heart that we should have for one another. Also in John chapter 13 verse 10 and 11, we're not going to read those verses, but this tells us that this was Judas' last call. Okay? So when Jesus washed Peter's feet, Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet to rinse more or less the dust." Because as we know, they used to wear sandals and they wear dusty robes. So that was the custom when you visit someone. You always have a basin ready to rinse your feet. And that's what Jesus meant, that you are clean. This what you're doing only to rinse the dust of your feet, but it's completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. From Desire of Ages, page 645. Judas, in choosing his position at the table, had tried to place himself first, and Jesus as a servant served him first. Judas' heart trembled through and through with the impulse, urged him to act then and there to confess his sin. But he refused that. But he would not humble himself. He hardened his heart against repentance. And as we know, that is the unpardonable sin. When the sin prompts us to repent, and we refuse that all the time, that against the Holy Spirit is a sin against the Holy Spirit. Judas was offended at Christ's act in washing the feet of his disciples. And he thought that if Jesus could so humble himself, he could not be a king of Israel. A king does not do that, humble himself and wash others' feet, but someone wash the feet of the king, but not the king himself. And by this act of Jesus, Judas thought there is nothing to be gained by following Jesus. There was nothing that was to be done or was left undone to save the soul of Jesus. Of Judas. Jesus done everything for Judas to have him in his kingdom. But he refused that. And brothers and sisters, do you think there is nothing to be gained by following Christ, as Judas thought? Do you think by obeying the commandments of the law of God is in vain and there is no reward by being a disciple of Jesus? What was wrong with Judas? Why he lost his soul being so close to Jesus? First of all, Judas wasn't called by Jesus to be his disciple. But he pushed himself in with the group. And why? Because he thought that Jesus will be a king of Israel. And he be next to him, that he can be honored. And secondly, he had the ambition for wealth and success. Judas was next to the king of kings. And the king, Jesus, loved him and gave him one of the greatest honor that he could give to be his disciple. But Judas refused the offer to be in the kingdom of Christ, next to his king for eternity. He refused that. And when we refuse Jesus' call, we refuse eternity also. In John, following that chapter, John chapter 13, verses 12 and 13, Jesus asked if they knew what he had done to them. So when he had washed their feet, taking his garments, and sat down again, He said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you?" Verse 13, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am." And I like this verse, the I am. And verse 14, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." So that's a command, a straight command from Jesus. We have to wash each other's feet. Verse 15, "You should do this as I have done to you." This is the message of the gospel of Christ. Whatever Christ done, especially to his disciples, we should do it to each other in a good manner and follow the steps of Jesus. Christ would have his disciples to understand that although he washed their feet, this did not in the least took anything away from his dignity. "Ye call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, yes, indeed, I am the I am." The reason that Jesus instituted this ordinance as an example for us, that when we celebrate the Last Supper, we should remember that the Son of God, Creator of all things, knelt down before his creatures. Can you comprehend that? The Creator knelt down before his creatures. I mean, imagine in our worldly custom, if a king kneels down to any common man. Do you see that? So imagine God, Jesus himself, kneeling down before his creatures. If we do not understand and realize what Jesus instituted, why Jesus instituted this ordinance, we will not be able to go forward in our Christian life, our Christian walk. If we do not empty our hearts, there will be not enough room to receive Christ himself, and especially this special day for us. We have to empty our hearts from any defilement. If we do not empty our hearts, also we can't accept one another. This ordinance of humility is to clear any trace of self-exaltation, any pride, any trace of selfishness, any kind of supremacy that can keep us in chains, that we cannot be able to love and serve one another. In that way, we are not ready to receive Christ. To reject the ordinance of humility is to reject the highest cleansing. And when we participate in foot washing, we recite the rite of baptism all the time, because it's the cleansing, the water. That's what symbolizes. So Peter said to Jesus, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash your feet, you have no part with me." And this is the same thing with us. If we do not wash each other's feet, more or less we don't have a part with Jesus. Because this is a straight command from Jesus himself. And verse 10 from John chapter 13, Jesus said to him, He who needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean. But not all of you. You are not all clean. So, brothers and sisters, let us understand what really is the meaning of the foot washing and what it stands for and what Christ has done for us. His sacrifice was accepted by his Father. The work that Christ had made on our behalf, the sacrifice was completed. Otherwise, the righteous law would have demanded justice from its lawgiver. So the sacrifice was completed. When Jesus uttered the words, "It is finished," and our Redeemer bowed his head and died, he didn't know that the sacrifice, his sacrifice, was completed. But there was thrilled of joy among the heavenly host. And also there was a discomfort of the defeat among Satan and the evil angels. Because Jesus became triumphant and conqueror, and he had victory over the grave and opened the eternal gates of glory. For all who believe in him may not perish but have everlasting life. So, brothers and sisters, let us take every opportunity to grasp what is offered to us. Take every advantage of what Jesus had done on our behalf. He paid the penalty of death that by right you and I should have paid. You and I were condemned to eternal destruction. But Jesus, in his mercy for us, wanted to write our names in the palms of his hand. And in Isaiah chapter 49 verse 16, Isaiah described it, "Behold, I have graven you upon the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me." Brothers and sisters, we come to the end of this sermonette. And we could see and we know that we have such a loving Savior that our names are written on the palms of his hands. Amen.